México. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, thank you, sir. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank this church that has been faithfully and supporting me out there in Mexico. I would have not stayed as long in Mexico if it wasn't for your help, your prayers, and I just want to say thank you to Pastor also for inviting me to preach, and thanks to Pastor Ashton also. And I appreciate him inviting me to preach. Well, it reminds me right now about one of the songs or the hymns that you sang. It says, I'm just but a sinner, saved by grace. I'm not somebody special, but just that the Lord saved me, and then he called me into the ministry of being a missionary. And I'm important in God's book. You won't find any article, any magazine, or any book about the life of Alberto Viles. But I'm glad I'm written in the book of life up in heaven. And one of the things that the churches are in Mexico, in Guadalajara, this week, they went on visitation again, and about 20 persons got saved in the Belen Baptist Church. And so we're glad that each one is putting his effort. The other ones are also winning souls, but the one that's been growing faster is the church in Belen. And then there's about three new missions around Guadalajara that are trying to start a new work. So we pray that that the Lord will keep on blessing and that something will come out of those missions. So I'm glad that God is using the ministry that he's given me, that we started teaching and preparing people and young people, and there are starting works around Guadalajara. And so I appreciate for your prayers and your support. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. I wrote about three different messages, but it says, Lord, just show me which one you want me to preach. So I said, I think maybe this is the one God wants me to preach. I'll open your Bibles in Genesis 24, and then I want to read verses 1 through, let's see how far, 5. Okay, I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the message. It says, Genesis 24, verses 1 through 5. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord of God of heaven and the God of the earth, and thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Oh, I have to finish with 6. And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Okay, we see right now the servant of Abraham is sending his servant. In Genesis 15, it says his name, the servant, is Eliezer. And so he's telling him to do something for him. Okay, let's pray and ask God to help us open up this scripture. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to preach your word. I thank you, Lord, that this church has been helping and supporting us, and the other churches have been helping us, Lord, to keep on going there in Mexico. I just ask right now that also you bless this church and also help the pastor and the different ministries that they're doing. Just keep them using them. And Lord, I just keep on blessing them. And Lord, we want that your gospel be spread here in San Antonio. And Lord, I just thank you for allowing me to preach, and just ask right now your help, that your Holy Spirit have liberty, and that your holy angels would also keep at bay all those evil spirits that want to destroy this ministry. Lord, we just ask your help and your direction, and we ask it all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where my title of the message comes from there, because it keeps repeating one word. It says, who is your master? Who is your master? Right now, it says right here, first of all, Abraham was asking help from his servant. In chapter 15, he wanted to say, well, God, I'm going to adopt Eliezer to be my son and have sons. And God said, no, you will have your own son out of your flesh and blood. But, you know, his wife said, Sarai will have a son in her old age. She couldn't have any children. But God promised, kept his promise, and the son was born. And that's when we read more in the book of Genesis. But one thing we noticed over here, in verse, the first mention that it mentions it, it says that he was willing to go and look what you say in verse, let me look for the verse. It goes further down. In verse, let me find that verse. And verse 10. We're going to stay in Genesis 24, but we're going to go through other verses. In verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels, and camels of his, who? His master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down by the city with by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. As you keep on reading, it keeps repeating that word. My master, my master, my master. So when I started reading, it says, well, we need to learn in the Christian life, who is your master? It's a principle. First of all, Eliezer, I hope I pronounced it right, Eliezer, that he was a faithful servant, and he knew who his master was. First of all, in the physical world, he knew that Abraham was his master. He was not only a servant, he was a slave. He bought a lot of slaves, but he didn't mistreat them. And so one of the ones that was most faithful was this one right here, the servant that he sends to take care of his son. Not only that, he was a steward. Look what it says in verse 10, I think it was where we read. Let me see, where did it go? Where he said that got the camels. What verse was that? 10. Oh, yeah, where I was starting. And then the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he rose and went. Okay, first of all, that's why Abraham had a lot of faith in him and trust in him, because he saw he was, first of all, was willing to follow directions. Sometimes you tell your sons, and it says, Aaron or Israel, Israel or Asiel, hey, wait, take care of that and do that. Then I look inspector later and says, have you done it yet? Yes, I'll do it later. I'll do something else. Hey, then the second time, the third time I said, I told you to go and do that simple task. Why don't you obey? Don't you know I'm your father? Hey, in relationships with family, sometimes people, their children forget that, hey, you're under somebody's authority. And that's the why it says, who is your master? Look how Isaiah, put your marker here in Genesis 24. Look what Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're talking about the different things that God shows us, a principle that we should know and put into practice. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Hosea, Jonathan, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. What was the problem of Israel, the nation? Verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. Hey, this, especially when it says master's crib, it's talking about a hidden reference about Jesus Christ. And anyway, because it says, hey, the animals obey God. They know who their master is. You know, we have the butterfly that rides over there in Guadalajara, the monarch butterfly. You know what? When it's time over there, it gets starting getting cold. They come in the summer, the monarchs, go over there to San Capriano, California, where it's warmer weather. Then when it starts getting cold, they return back and fly back to Guadalajara area. Hey, why do they go over there and come back? Because they know who their master is. When the geese do the same thing, hey, when they go to warm weather, and then when it's time to go, God says, okay, it's time to go up south. And they get all together. Why do they do that? They obey and they know who their master is. That's why God put it in there. Not only that, look what it says. Well, no, that's the other passage, the other verse for the other point. But now there's a lot of references in the Bible about who do you follow directions from. And if you don't follow instructions from him, that means you don't consider him important. You don't, talking about earthly first. You don't consider him as important, and I'm not going to obey him. I'm not going to follow his orders. I want to do what I want to do. Well, that was my life when I was that sinner. I was just playing a game of religion, and I only fulfilled the limits of religion. But finally, when I got saved, hey, I recognized that I had somebody over me. And see, the first thing when he saved me, I started reading his book. I started saying, what, God, what do you want me to do? That's what you need to understand. This is a Bible principle that I'm trying to teach, that you should know who your master is. I was, the first year I was not saved, I was in the Air Force, and then, but I recognize one thing. It says, now that I'm under the care of Uncle Sam, it says, I know who gives me my clothes. They take away all your civilian clothes. They give you green pants, khaki pants, your underwear, your t-shirts, your boots, your shoes, your working shoes. Man, when you're there, and say, to make sure that you understand the government, the Uncle Sam is over you, this says, go in line for the haircut. Oh, I like it this way, and I like it like this, and I like it like that. And the haircutter heard me. Okay. Zoom, 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 zoom. And I touched my head. Oh, what happened to my hair? That's when I understood that my master was Uncle Sam. But then after the year, I got saved. And I said, when I got saved, I understood now another concept, that now somebody was master, my master over me. Now, God gave me the opportunity to be in the military and learn that they paid me every month. That's one thing beautiful about the Air Force for 4 years. Every 15th, I would get my check. Hell, when I got spent it. And then when I got saved, I said, thank you, Lord. I understand that you're my master and that you have allowed me to be here, that Uncle Sam is taking care of me. But Uncle Sam is not my real master. You are my master. You provided the need so that I could get finance, my clothes, and everything that I have on my body. But it was because of you. Do you know who your master is? First, obey. Hear instructions. The next thing is obeying. The next thing we see this. Look what it says in 24:37. But let's go back over there. Genesis 24:37. The second thing about knowing who, do you know who your master is? In Genesis 24:37. Are we there yet? Okay. Oops, I'm one page behind. 37. Okay, 37. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Preaventure, the woman will not follow me. And he said to man, he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of the kindred of my father's house. What did we see in Genesis 24, the earlier passages? Is that, okay, now I know your instructions. And he got the camels, and he took off for the land of Aaron. Aaron, that's where they stayed. That's north, over there on the edge of the river Euphrates. It says, now, not only Christians now go to the direction. Okay, there's a lot of young singles here around here. So I think they're still here. Look. You want to, one of you going to get married? Some are here single ladies. Hey, I want to get married. Okay, God tells you, okay, you live here in Texas. Let's say you're from here, San Antonio. I want you to travel all the way to New York and over there go and find the man, your wife. Where, Lord? Well, just go and I'll direct you. Okay, and they're looking for a specific place. Okay, trying to find a person that lives in Chicago. In human terms, when are you going to find that person? Do you have a phone number? No. Do you have an address? No. All I know is that I want you to go to Chicago. This is not only God is willing that we will follow instructions. He sent them. Okay. And now this is what the thing about knowing who your master is. I went to college, Riverside City College in California. I learned a lot of things, but I didn't learn everything. But when I went to Mexico, it's when God was giving me the direction, first of all, to go to Mexico. And I was praying for 7 years, Lord, give me a wife. And I had some girlfriends when I was in Florida, but the Lord broke off one of them. I almost got married. But the Lord had told me not to find a wife here in the United States. So I went to Mexico, and then a year later I was preaching for a missionary in Monterrey. And that's when I found her. 7 years later, Lord answered my prayer. And the prayer was completed when we got married the following year. Hey, when you know who your master is, he'll give you direction to go first on the right path and get to the right place and get God's blessing for obeying. I'm just giving you my example. But there's a lot of lives around here. You know what? One of the things that I see in Mexico is that they want everything, and I want it now. And now, not only that, I see it more exaggerated in the United States. When I go to pay my gas, the electricity or my phone, there's a long line, and people are waiting in line. A lot of Christian Americans right here, well, can't stand it. It's about 40 minutes or about an hour waiting in a long line trying to get over there to pay your bill, water bill. Or every year you have to renew the tags to the car. And there's a long line, so sometimes I don't go there and wait until it's about half of it, the shorter line, and then I'm still waiting. They take turns to attend to the other ones to renew the tags. Then, you know, I'm up there waiting. A lot of you would just blow up because you have that over-exaggerated, I need it now. Hey. I'm ready, willing to pay my bills and wait on there. That's the way I wait on the Lord. I don't see results right away that moment. If I said, that's why some of them that came from Monterrey to help me says, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. Well, Monterrey, Mexico has been ministered by the gospel, I think it's over 300 years now, 300. Years of the gospel concentrated in Monterrey, Mexico. That's why a lot of churches just pop up. But the deeper you go into Mexico, the religion has still got a hold of all the people. Religion hinders. So when I went, I didn't automatically fill up any church or that I started. Boom! Hey, I can write a letter. Hey, I just bought the property. Choom, the next month. Oh, I finally finished building the building. Choom. And then the next month, hey, we got 100 people in here. And then the next week or the next month, oh, now we got 1,000 people here. You don't get those kind of reports from me. Because God takes his time to do his work. All you have to do is obey him. Who is your master? First of all, get directions. Second, now is obey and do what he told you to do. Some of you could be helping here in certain job here in the ministry of the church. Everyone has a certain ability. But you're not willing to sacrifice your time. You're not willing to say, well, it says, if I do this, I can't do this. Any other things, activities of what this world offers. Or is there something wrong with baseball? Is it a sin? Baseball? Football? Basketball? There's nothing wrong with that. But when you put it ahead of the things of God, that's when you will find out who really your master is. You have to obey God's. Now you want to say, well, in what shall I obey God? That's why God gave you an instruction manual. There's a lot of things that God tells you to do. And one of the things that God has the greatest interest is the work going out from the churches and reaching other areas that you're not able to reach. I think it's some that went already to Guadalajara. Pastor Ashton went over there and got a view of not only the modern city of Guadalajara, but he saw some of the works over there. So I think he appreciates more what I'm doing over there. But, you know, writing letters and sending pictures, you're seeing a glimpse of what I'm doing over there. And that's the way God says, each one has an ability, and all they have to do is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you saved me. Lord, I want to obey you. Lord, show me what you want me to do to help. Be a help here in the church. Be a help in my neighborhood. Be a help in any project that the church has. Who is your master? One that knows his master, he will obey what he tells him to do. The last thing, when we read over here now, when he finally goes and finds Eliezer, the servant, finds and goes over there because he's obeying God, obeying his master, he starts praying and is asking for directions to help him find that place. Now let's go over here to Genesis 24, verse 24:12. Are we there yet? Then it said, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of the water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I might drink. And she said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You know what God does when you first follow the instructions and you obey and you ask God, keep showing me, give me the direction, and Lord, because I want to obey you. Then he says, the woman that comes and just gives me water, and I just ask for water. But it says, not only will I give you water, but I'll give water to your camels also. Did she have one camel? I mean, I'm talking about the servant. Did he have one camel? Do you know how many gallons of water a camel drinks? Ah, it's one thing to give water to one camel. You know what Rebecca did? She gave, she keeps giving jugs for water to the one camel. Then another, five jugs for the other camel. She had to go over there every time, go to the well, get it out, and put it over here, another 5 gallons for the other camel, until she finally finished with 10 camels. See, God is also looking for a woman that's a worker, that's not afraid to do something. One reason the Lord's been blessing me, I have a woman that God's given me that's not afraid of work. She's been my backbone support to stay all these years in Mexico. You need somebody to help you, be you by your side. In the poor, or in wealth, in health, and in sickness, man, she's been there by my side. And She's been with me when we have failures, but she's always been also there when we've had the victories. God will answer and give you the blessing. But he was not concerned about his blessing. That's when you know who your master is. Says, give this blessing so that, give the blessing to my master Abraham, that he can give me and show me the woman that's the right woman that will obey you, God, and that will follow me by the side of Isaac. He was obeying and following instructions so that his master would be honored. You know why I work in Mexico all these years? Because I do it not to, I don't do it to please you. And I didn't stay 45 years just because it says, oh, I just want to praise, I want the people over here to just lift me up and give me all the lauds. I think that's the word. Give all, much of any important on, just a sinner, saved by grace. And I just want to do something because I know who my master is. I want to follow him, obey him, and I want his blessings so that you can receive those blessings here in this church. Who is your master? The things that we see here, he does that just to show that he's doing it, not for his own benefit. He's doing it so that Abraham will get the blessing. When you do something for the church, when I helped in the different churches, two churches that I was helping in the ministry, the first one was where I helped, and I was single, and I said, Pastor, I come forward because, first of all, that I recognize I'm saved, and but if you need any help, just tell me and I'll help you. And then when I was there for 3 months, I was helping with the Sunday school classes. But no, I wasn't teaching. I was just making sure that all the children were sitting down, the children. And then finally he says, another 3 months later, he says, well, can you help with a bus route? You're not going to drive and pick up the people. You're just going to be helping so that you can lead the children in songs and make sure that they're all seated, and the other person is in charge of the bus and doing all the thing. Okay. He kept giving me different jobs to do. And I didn't know that God was preparing me so that I could learn what is the ministry in the church. He was already doing that before I even knew that he was going to call me to be a missionary. When you walk in his walk, he will make you, if you really service, I mean, serious about obeying and following your master. Hey, you just want to do something for others. Who is your master? Then we see the blessing. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how I know? Look here, it's hidden in Genesis 24. He, you know, they made a festival for them, and then they says, and but the servant said, I gotta go back. And then as they're traveling back, let me look for that verse. When they're going back, here's where the thing changes. Verse 61. Are we ready? 24:61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Oh, he knew which camels were. They were. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And for she said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is who?" Who it is? "My master." He's the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here we see that not only do you start with knowing who your master is, over there when you meet him again, when the important decisions need to be made, you should know who your master is. Hey, this time now, Abraham is getting old. He's going to inherit. And that's the part of the thing that we need to understand and learn. Recognize who is your master. Paul says in the New Testament, "Give honor to whom honor is due." to the policeman. Hey, when he gets on the street and says, "Stop," like that, "Oh, I stopped my car." When they, I drive a little fast, and then behind me there goes a little light, beep, 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 and that says, "Pull over, pull over." Well, I says, "I think I should obey," because I know the authority. God has put all the different authorities here in this land so that you recognize that God has also put some others in authority. One time I saw some policemen, and they said, "Oh, you're a minister too." I said to the, I was in Florida. And I says, "What?" He says, "Is that God gave you the authority to be a policeman. And my respects to you." Hey, recognizing authority. But the most important authority, you should know who your real master is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Father, for this time you've given me. Bless your word. Bless your message. I don't take credit for making this message, Lord, but you were teaching me and showing me. Lord, I just give you an invitation right now that if there's someone that needs to come to this altar, we're forgetful people. Every message that's preached is to remind us that there's another area that we need to take care of. Lord, do your job this morning. Holy Spirit, stir up that heart. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to preach your word. We need some time with God. We need to learn that not only God is our master, but Jesus Christ is our master too. Because I believe in the Trinity, Bible Trinity, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do your work. Pastor will continue. The